Let's go now to that Neil Agut inquest that is currently underway in Gauteng. Joining me on the line is Murray Hathen, attorney for the Agut family. Murray, a very good morning and welcome to the show.
Morning, Africa. Thank you.
Perhaps before we start about what the family is thinking right now in terms of next steps and developments, where are we in the process of the inquest as far as you can explain?
Well, we enter the final scheduled week now, this coming week. It will be mainly security branch members who have been subpoenaed to come to give evidence. That will continue. And then we'll end up with the family's investigator, Frank Dutton, to give the evidence. He'll be the final witness on Friday.
And I imagine the same court rules apply, where if you have been subpoenaed, you show up, you are examined, for lack of a better word, under oath, which means anything and everything you say has to be truthful. Have we already started seeing, I suppose, testimonies during this inquest that are deviating from testimonies that would have been provided in the previous inquest?
Yes, well, that of course was the case with Nick Dietliffs, who was an interrogator at John Forster Square at the time from 1979 until 1994. He testified that on 30 January 1982, during the night of that day, he had interrogated Neil Agut, who had disclosed information to him which in his view amounted to an admission on his part and that of his friend and colleague or comrade in the union, the Food and Allied Canning Workers Union, that they had been working through SACTU, which was an ANC-linked trade union, not banned, but effectively hobbled by virtue of the banning of its leadership, to create industrial unrest and to bring the South African economy to a stop. And that was regarded as a confession by Dietliffs. And during this confession, Agut had said to him, "You know, I do not know what more I have to live for. I do not know how I'm going to live with myself because I have given away my best friend, Jan Theron." And according to Dietliffs in his evidence this week, he had informed the officers concerned. He was a warrant officer, so he informed two commissioned officers, Whitehead, who was the chief interrogator, and Major Cronwright, who was the head on the 10th floor of operations at the 10th floor in John Forster Square, of this fact, and that he regarded and that they should regard Neil Agut as a suicide risk. Now, of course, he had never told this story at the first inquest. And he said this was a result of him being told not to tell the story by Cronwright and by Whitehead. In fact, that he had been threatened with, it was under threat that he had not told the story at the first inquest because he said if it had come out then, it would have implicated Whitehead and Cronwright, because they had done absolutely nothing in the following days, up until his death on the 4th or the 5th, to the night of the 4th and the 5th, to have taken appropriate care of Agut, and that therefore they would be guilty of possibly of murder with dolus eventualis, although he never put it in those words. That would have been the possible implication for them. But he admitted that that story was entirely untrue. Under examination this week, and under cross examination, and in fact, I think he gave that story in evidence in chief as well. So, this is the major deviation which has occurred between the evidence given at the first inquest in 1982, and the evidence which came out this week from Nick Dietliffs.
And so, what happens next, Murray?
Well, of course, we have to decide. There are two issues at stake here. The question is Dietliffs telling the truth? Or is he in fact telling another lie to cover up an even graver truth, an even darker truth, that Agate might have been murdered directly by the security branch? So we have to, but those will be issues to be addressed by us in argument, and finally, of course, to be addressed by the court. Argument in the matter is set down for 27 March, and then we would expect judgment after that.
And when you say argument, just to be clear, it would be similar to what we popularly know as closing arguments, right?
Yes, closing argument indeed. And we're going to have to apply our minds over the next month to working out, is he telling the truth? First of all, is he telling the truth? If he is, what are the consequences? There may well be consequences for him. There would be, I believe, in terms, there would be a question that arises. If he's telling the truth, is he, having regard to the fact that he agreed on his version to lie at the first inquest court and to cover up the story as to why and the circumstances of Neil Agate's death, he would be, if we can say, and I think that we would be able to argue that Whitehead and Cronwright, by in fact acting in a directly opposite way to make things worse for Neil Agate in the days after his death, had brought about his death, even if by suicide, that they should have foreseen that a man who was suicidal would commit suicide. They did everything they could, possibly could, it would appear from the evidence, to have made sure that he could have, that he did and would. They would then be guilty of murder. The court might say, well, they are guilty of murder on a balance of probabilities, dolus eventualis, i.e. they would have foreseen by their conduct that the man, that there was a real possibility that Neil Agate would take his life. That would make it possible to argue that that Dietlis should be charged with murder as an accessory after the fact, or as an accessory. That is also a possibility, because he might be able to show that, in fact, he knew that Cronwright, on his version, and Whitehead had ignored his warnings, and in fact, Whitehead in particular, by, for example, on his version, in the presence of, and on the last day of his life, he said that Cronwright, at least Whitehead, dictated a telex to head office in Pretoria requesting more arrests, permission to effect more arrests as a result of the evidence of Agate, Jan Teron, and perhaps others, Oscar and Peter, Neil, who in fact already was in prison at that point in another jail, and Aurette van Heerden, who in fact was in the same jail at John Forster Square at that point, but it would certainly have meant at the least the arrest of Jan Teron, that they had dictated this telex in his presence, and that this was not, and having, if he was a suicide risk, this would have been improper conduct, because it would have upset Neil Agate even more. So he says that he was in the same room, and Neil Agate was in the same room as Whitehead when this telex was being prepared, and he places himself on the spot. So it would be very difficult for him. There might then even be a case to say that if he had not taken reasonable steps at that point by going even higher in the chain of command, to warn of the possible suicide of Neil Agate, that in fact he's a direct accessory to murder as well. So we have to consider all of these things as we prepare argument. But of course, as I say, I don't want to repeat myself. The question is he telling the truth? You know, is the story true? And there are questions about whether it is true or can be true.
Allow me to speculate for a second, Murray. So let's imagine that in your arguments, you succeed in putting forward a case that there are certainly mistruths and lies that have been shared by, amongst others, Nicholas Dietlis. Would it then be a decision for the National Prosecuting Authority to determine whether or not they're going to pursue then, I think you mentioned a potential charge of murder. There's a particular legal term you use there. Would it be would it be for the NPA to make that decision, or?
Yes, it would. It would. The ultimate decision would be made by the NPA whether to prosecute or not. The Agate family, if they did not prosecute, would theoretically have a right to institute a private prosecution. But you know, private prosecution, one has to put up security for the costs of the accused person, which, so there are, and of course one bears the responsibility of running a case, which in itself is costly, you know, potentially costly, unless they can have it done pro bono. And, you know, so it is by no, a private prosecution is by no means an easy thing to do.
Certainly not. And I mean, the NPA, and granted, the NPA that is in place now, very different from the NPA that was there, one would argue, under the Zuma administration, but very heavily criticized for not doing the right thing and pursuing the cases that the TRC had handed over to them and said they, well, the TRC believes that there are issues that need to be followed up here before any decision of prosecution can be made. Parting question, Marie, and it's outside of, I suppose, the legal purview. I imagine it is very difficult for the Agate family and those related to the late Neil Agate to sit in that inquest and hear this testimony again.
Well, undoubtedly it is. I think that, you know, it has been a traumatic experience. But I'm afraid that this is the lot of families who do not know the what happened to their loved one. And, you know, there's also a deeper emotional need to know and to find out. And so, you know, Jill Agate and her nephew, who is Jill, of course, is Neil's sister, have been there from the beginning and have watched every minute of it, and of course have been an active part of discussions outside of the court as we develop our strategy. So it's an important part, I think, overall for their healing, because and I think that we have begun to find our way closer to the truth, although whether we are at the truth yet is of course, I think, a very important part of their healing in spite of the trauma of this experience.
Indeed. And Murray, with your permission, we'd love to have another conversation, certainly closer to the conclusion of the inquest, particularly around the time when you make arguments, just to keep our listeners abreast of what is happening at the inquest.
With pleasure, Africa. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed. Murray Hawthorn is the attorney for the Agate family. The inquest, of course, into the death of anti-apartheid activist and trade unionist Neil Agate continuing in a court in Gauteng.